Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Gary Voorhees, our guest this week in the Paracast, in our previous segment, heard a question from Randall. Gary, your answer, please.
Kevin Day was the senior chief for the OS department. The guys, OSs are operational specialists. They're the guys that actually will sit in front of all my computer systems and run them during normal operations. Basically, their whole job is just to run stuff and make sure they don't spill crap into my consoles. Senior Chief Day himself, he was in charge of a lot of the flight operations. He stood watch on in CIC. At the time when I was on the ship, there was disparity between our ranks. So it was always a professional relationship. I had things to do on the bridge or if they're on the ship itself or in CIC, he would acknowledge me, but it was, just in passing. We weren't on buddy terms. We weren't talking and on the smoke break and, hanging out or anything like that. But we had a professional relationship. He would definitely contact me if there were any consoles that were down. And most of our discussions were always of a technical nature. Or a professional nature. So he always came off to me as a very detail oriented person. He always wanted to know, what was wrong with the consoles and stuff like that. And I always appreciated him because I was constantly on top of the operations guys for, eating at the consoles. And he helped me stem that issue. And so other than that, me and him just had a completely professional relationship on the ship.
Okay, so he described kind of what's going on and if there was any technical difficulties, like, say, back on the first day when these tracks were not as clear as you'd like to be, perhaps he was the one who alerted you to this, said, hey, can you come up and check this out? What, is that more or less how that happened then?
With that, no. We pretty much police our own systems. We have a system incorporated in within the Aegis system called the ORT system, and it's an operational readiness testing system that literally has hundreds of test points throughout the entire system that alert us to any issues with the system. And then we pretty much do this on our own, but he definitely wanted to know whether they were real tracks or not, or whether they were, ghost tracks, or whether there was, what would be the possible, what are they? So he was definitely very interested in our maintenance and to make sure that these were real tracks.
So who brought these to the attention, or his attention? Did he bring these to your attention, or did you bring them to his attention? Who was the first one to go, hey, what are these things and what do we do?
The OS that was on the spy radar, he would be the one that would bring it to his attention and say, hey, we have X amount of unknowns at certain bearing, at certain speed. And then from there, he would determine what to do or how to report it up.
Right. And so that's kind of why I was assuming that he would have contacted you to confirm what was going on. So did you encounter these objects or tracks yourself before? How is it that you became aware of them?
Well, I honestly was just smoking, and one of the spy guys had the guys that fixed the spy radar itself had told me that they had unknown tracks and it might be just clutter. And so that was just a casual conversation, a little sidebar, So basically him telling me that basically means, hey, stand by because you're going to have to reload the systems a lot. because when we do the calibration, I basically got to stand by in the computer central, which is basically a big room with all the computers that run all the different weapon systems on board. And I just sit there and reset these things over and over again for them.
Okay, so you knew that was coming up, and then you got the someone sent you down the alert or the orders to say, hey, you know, we want these things reset, or do what you have to do, or were you just curious about it yourself and went down to have a look after your break?
Well, once they said that there could be an issue with the systems, I immediately started running passive tests. So I went down to the computer room, checked all the recording, made sure the recording was up and running, making sure there was all fresh disks instead of just, because when there's nothing going on and nothing bothering with the recording, we just flip the disks. So we just basically record them over. And there's no point in wasting another disk if there's literally nothing going on. But with something like this going on, I made sure that we all, you know, fresh tapes it every time, and I made sure the watchstanders knew that they needed to make sure that there was always a fresh tape in as long as all this stuff was going on. So I did passive system checks, which basically goes throughout the system, uses the ORT system, uses some of my own systems itself, just to kind of see if there's any error codes, any alerts, or anything like that, and I found none. But then the spy technicians also will do the same thing on their systems. And we have a comm system between the different rooms, so we can hear them over little speakers, and you just hit a little switch, and you just on or off and to talk, kind of like you do with these mics, and we just talk back and forth. So I could be standing by across the room, and they just yell through it, and then I can reset things.
Interesting. Okay, so I think we've got a pretty good idea about the environment you were working in and what you're doing now, which really helps. So when did things really start to get interesting?
Before we get to that, I wanted to ask just one overview question here. We're talking about 2004. It's the early days of the second Iraqi war. 3 years after 9/11, a lot of sensitivities. At any point did you first think maybe this is something that's related to all that?
I'll be honest with you. No, not at all. Not where we were. I mean, we were off the coast of California, nowhere near the Middle East. The tracks were going way too slow. You know, I mean, unless they were attack balloons, or you know, they decided to pull out some Nazi era dirigibles. you know, we weren't really. There was no urgency to them, really.
So nobody was all paranoid and on ready alert and, you know, ready to push the button. You guys were just doing your usual training and maintenance exercises. Then these targets show up on your systems. You don't think too much of them at first.
Now, I know it's a small, we wouldn't have called them a target. It would be a track. They're not targets until they're designated a threat.
Oh, thank you.
It's basically because if you say it's a target, it means that we were actively engaging with them. And at that time, we weren't. So until we sent the F-18s out to do the interrogation, they would not have been targets.
Thanks for that. Yeah. And, you know, forgive us out here in the civilian world for that. I'm sure that a lot of us find it very interesting. This all sounds really Tom Clancy-ish in its own way, very high tech. And so now you mentioned that aircraft were launched to investigate things, but when did things start getting really interesting before that? Or did it?
It really didn't, to be honest. I mean, honestly, it just ended up being after we did all the calibrations and the resets and everything, and we realized there's literally nothing wrong with any of the systems and that what we're seeing is what we're seeing. It was... we would go to general quarters if there was a real problem, which is basically saying, that's our alert says, like when we go to war, we go to general quarters on a ship. It'd be like when you see in the Hunt for October when they say red alert, red alert.
I'm never going to ask how close Tom Clancy's vision of the military is to the real thing, except to say that in the 90s, I did meet Tom Clancy at a convention for Mac users, Apple Mac users, and I don't want to give my perceptions of that because it's not relevant. We got more with Gary, Gene, Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So I did brought up the name Tom Clancy because I met up with him at a Macworld Expo after helping him fix a CD-ROM problem. And I thought he was very full of himself. Gary Voorhees, you're about to say something?
Well, I mean, there's probably a reason he's full of himself, because I tell you what, is his books, and he must have done his research or been in the military himself, because a lot of that stuff is pretty spot on.
This is all very highly technical, and any of us who are interested in military thriller type movies and stuff, we can picture these centers with the screens and the people working on them and the types of things that go on. It's really quite fascinating in its own way. So you've been tracking these objects, whatever they are, these tracks have shown up on your systems for a couple of days. How long was it before somebody finally said, let's go take a look?
I think it was about 7 days or so. And then I'd heard a rumor that they were going to do an interrogation, and then nothing happened. And then, like, the next day I hear, they're in the air. They're going to do the interrogation. And what that would mean to anybody else is that the chain of command has finally decided. Now, this is just from the perception of, like, us lower, you know, this isn't like from Kevin Day's perception, which had, you know, he was actually the instigator for this, but to us, we're like, oh, finally, you know, because we don't get the privilege of hearing all that cool backstory that I got to hear after the fact. But so I got excited. I'm like, cool, you know, hopefully maybe the gun cameras will be on, or they'll have FLIR on, and we'll be able to see actually, you know, what we were tracking. Yeah, you know, I kind of just had a slight hope for that. And then somebody said, hey, you know, come over to and check it out on the secret computers. You know, it's on the secret side, but you can actually watch the interrogation. So we went and watched the interrogation. And, you know, at that point, I remember at first you see this object, and you kind of just don't really know what it is. Doesn't really have any discerning features or anything like that. It's completely smooth. And the guy's flipping through the gun camera and through the different, cameras. And, you know, you can see that on the small clip, but what you don't see is the detail. And, you know, you can see that there's something kind of coming out of the bottom. I couldn't tell whether they were actually L-shaped or anything like that, but there didn't seem to be any seams, in my opinion, from, you know, what I saw. But it was just kind of benign at first, like, okay, well, that was anticlimactic. What the hell is that? You know, and then all of a sudden it starts moving. And then that's when it was like, you know, all of a sudden it would just move out of the frame, gone completely, and then it would come back into the frame, and it would be moving right and left and up and down, and it didn't seem to have, you know, anything that would stop it from moving in any direction at any speed, you know. And the odd thing about that is it had no jet plume, it had no wings, it had no props, it had nothing, you know. And so at that point in my brain, I got real excited, because, you know, here's this level of physics that, you know, we don't know anything about, and a propulsion system that is, you know, at the time I remember that has to be, I remember thinking it has to be some type of anti-gravity, you know, to be able to just do that. And then later on, when I found out that it was zero sonic booms when this thing was moving, I was like, the only way you could do that is if there was no air resistance going through around it, you know. And then I started thinking about, you know, how can that happen? And, you know, I started getting into the real technical stuff. And that's pretty much what I've been doing for the last 15 years, is crunching those numbers and trying to figure out exactly how this could work. And until some of the more modern theories of quantum mechanics and some of these more in-depth high-end physics, until I was able to actually comprehend and understand some of that stuff, I kept running into walls.
Did you ever think here, as you're looking at this, did it ever occur to you, hey, maybe this is ET after all?
To be dead honest with you, I didn't care. At that point, I just really wanted to know how they work. And hell, I wanted to be inside it. I wanted to find out, you know, I want to see, you know, how it flies, if I could fly it, you know, I mean. And then those questions just extrapolated over these years. And then now that it's out on a forum where people actually kind of care about what we think about this thing, it's a little odd.
That's really interesting. We seem to sort of skip ahead a bit there now. So what happened was that you picked up these tracks. After a few days, someone decides that they are going to go investigate. Now, were these aircraft, I think we're talking about now F-18 Super Hornets or a version of them, and we're talking about aircraft that can go nearly 2,000 miles an hour, almost anyhow, according to our specifications.
Basically, in a nutshell, at the time, they were the best of the best of the best. They were the cutting-edge technology in the air.
Yeah, really, and amazing machines.
Even to this day, they're still amazing machines.
And, okay, but at any time, were they launched specifically to intercept these targets? Not targets, excuse me, tracks?
Well, I know the first, I think with Fravor's group, they were expecting to do a training mission, but it had gotten interrupted due to the fact that they did a real world tasking on the intercept. Now they were just the first, they did launch more fighters after they came back, and those are actually people that did the film. It wasn't Fravor that did the film itself, and it was actually somebody that launched after Fravor that went and did an interrogation that made the film.
So these are two separate launches, yeah, and this fits with my understanding of the events, right? Fravor and his group were up in the air already. They got instructions to go check it out. They were running low on fuel or something like that, had to return to the carrier, and when they got back, they launched another set of aircraft to go and actually check it out, and they're the ones that got the pictures that we've been seeing on the internet.
And that is my understanding, and you know, unfortunately, all that stuff is just what I've had to hear through, you know, my co-workers and, you know, the people that came out with me and their portions of the story.
Now, when we're talking about David Fravor, and we've seen his interviews, he comes across as very credible. Can you tell us a bit more about his role and how he fits into the structure there in terms of his rank and his responsibilities and what it is that he does, so that people can understand that we're not just talking about somebody who, you know, casually flies around and maybe just saw something?
I'll tell you what, let's do our break here and give Gary a chance to just give the full answer without having to interrupt it, okay? Just want to let people know that a little bit later this month we'll be featuring one of the authors of those New York Times articles, Leslie Kane, who hasn't been on the PowerCast for quite a while. So look forward to that. That's going to be towards the end of the month. We'll announce more later. With Gene, Randall, and Gary, you're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
At least 11 people are dead after severe thunderstorms struck the southern part of the United States on Saturday. Thunderstorms and tornadoes knocked out power to more than 267,000 customers from Arkansas to Ohio. Tornadoes will be a threat this weekend in Alabama, Tennessee, and Georgia. This Alabama resident describes a storm in his neighborhood.
Man, this is tornado just came through, just wiping everything out.
Meanwhile, ice is going to be a problem for many from eastern Michigan to northern New York. Meanwhile, in Iran, Iranian protesters are demanding Iran's supreme leader step down after the regime shot down a Ukrainian plane and killed 176 people. President Trump is keeping an eye on the protests. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
This message is for all sexually active men. Now, you can get the same active ingredients as in Viagra and Cialis online in chewable form from BlueChew.com. Chewable can mean better, cheaper, and for some men, work faster. Get started 100% online. So no in-person doctor visit, no waiting at the pharmacy, and no more awkwardness. BlueChew.com ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. So order now. You'll love it, and so will your partner. For a limited time, first-time customers get their first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping when you use the promo code FAST at BlueChew.com. Chewable can mean better, cheaper, and for some men, work faster. That's BlueChew.com, promo code FAST.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. The service is not intended to replace your primary care physician or cure any disease.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Gary Voorhees answering one of the probing questions from Randall. Go ahead, please.
So, Mr. Fravor, this is a guy. He's Top Gun pilot. From what I hear from his coworkers and some people that worked around him, is that he was the best of the best of the best of the best. You know, he was the guy that you would want as your wing. You know, he was the guy that, you know, he was top notch in his field. You know, no question about it. He was the captain of the Black Aces. You know, he was the commander of the Black Aces, which was his squadron. You don't get to that point unless, you know, you are somebody of exceptional stature, and you really have to work your way to that point. Just to be a pilot, period, a combat pilot, you have to be, you know, less than 1% of the Navy ends up being combat pilots. So it's you mean you're the cream of the crop. So it's to be expected that, you know, anything this guy says, I support David Fravor, and he's really the reason why all of us came out about the event in support of him. So he is probably one of the most credible people and he's really the reason why I even decided to talk about it.
Yes, not only just a combat pilot, but as you say, he was the leader of the squadron as well. So, we're talking about a guy with some serious training and experience who, when he says something, people take it seriously.
Because when I heard that one of the actual pilots, you know, because prior to this, you know, I didn't know who the pilots were. You know, I knew somebody went up there, but I didn't know who they were. So, but when I found out who he was and that he was coming out about it, it's like, I got to come out and talk about it now. I mean, there's no going back at this point. This is real now.
Now, according to the story, he actually visually saw this as well. So this wasn't simply just picked up on cameras. he did get a visual on the object as well.
Yeah, he got a whole eye full of this thing, and I mean, his description of it matches exactly with what I saw on the film. He saw the details. You know, if you want to know exactly what these things look like, go back and listen to his interviews. He can tell you in detail what these things look like.
Okay, so what we have then is we have these tracks showing up on your systems. Why didn't anybody investigate them right away? Why did it take so long for anybody to take these things seriously?
Well, that's a question that you probably have to ask the chain of command, which, you know, how that ends up being. In my opinion, I think it had a little bit to do with not really wanting to be involved in this whole type of situation. This could be a career ender for people. A lot of the stigmas of, you know, oh, you're the captain that interrogated the UFOs. Oh, ha, ha, ha. You know, they don't, you know, you don't want to be associated with this topic whatsoever. I mean, as the grunt guys like us, it doesn't really matter for us. But, you know, pilots, captains, officers, I mean, their whole careers could be ended just on, you know, a flippant comment, never mind an event, a UFO event.
But isn't that their job, though? I mean, that's their whole purpose of being out there is to be able to detect some sort of an intrusion by some possible enemy. If you don't know what it is, it seems really irresponsible to me to not do anything about it when it's kind of your job to go out there and figure out what it is. I guess maybe unless you're on a training exercise, but one would think that, hey, we've got something here. We don't know what it is. They appear to be real objects. You're in the military. I'm not seeing how it could possibly be something that somebody would be afraid of doing when it, I mean, to us out here in the civilian world, that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, I definitely follow your line of thinking, and I definitely agree with your line of thinking, but you got to step back a little bit further and remember that there's different levels and layers going on during this whole situation. You know, there's this tiny, you know, this tiny little window that I get to see as an E4 running the systems. And then there's a bigger world that even, you know, senior chief gets to see. But then there's also that, and that's when you start getting into the command levels, you know, where you start getting into the officers. And, you know, as you get up, they have different circles and different ideas, and they're communicating differently, you know, so they're talking with different people. So, I mean, they could have been talking about this the entire time and just not doing anything about it. You know, they could have been like, you know, all right, well, this is what's going on. How do you want us to proceed? Because they're going to talk about it very clinical, because they don't want to say, you know, UFOs. You're not going to say, you know, they're going to just, you know, they're going to keep it very clinical when they're talking about it.
Right. This should have made its way up to, I guess we're talking about now, the whatever the top commander of the ship would be to make these decisions. It would have to percolate up to him. That shouldn't take very long, one would think. Or are these sort of spurious tracks even reported that far up? Does it have to get past a certain person in the chain of command before it even gets that far?
Well, I think just due to the nature of the tracks themselves, and since they were technically deemed non-hostile, since they were doing no aggressive posturing, there was no active tracking of us, there was no, you know, they weren't doing anything to us at all. I think at that point, until it became an issue with the training mission, you know, it's easily just ignored, because, I mean, you really don't understand the stigma on something like this really would be horrible. I mean, even today, the captain of the ship at the time, he literally will tell you, I don't remember an event like that happening. He doesn't want anything to do with it.
You basically raised something there, because the traditional legend in the UFO field going back to the 50s and such is that if anyone in the military sees something strange, they would generally be ordered not to speak of it to anyone other than those within their chain of command. Did anybody say anything to you? Hey, guy, let's keep this on the down low.
Luckily for me, not many people can actually enter my space. So I didn't really, nobody really could. Nobody told me. I mean, we kind of had a, we had this BS story that kind of got, it wasn't an official explanation sent to us, but it was basically trying to say that it was spontaneous ice forming in the atmosphere. And I'm thinking to myself, I saw the video. That wasn't ice.
Well, tell us a bit more about this video, because all we see out here is this sort of blurry, fuzzy object that looks like it's been filmed in infrared. We don't see any visible light imagery, and it's not all that clear. What did this look like to you when you were watching the playback?
So the clip you guys saw, I can only assume was compressed to be sent as an email, which would explain at the time, back in 2004, it would have had to have been a pretty small file, which explains the severe degradation of the film. Now, up until recently, when these new papers emerged about there being a longer film, I just assumed that was, you know, since the Navy wanted to take the stance that there is no other video, I was like, okay, well, that's all that's left. You know, they just didn't take it serious enough. They just cut it up, and then that's all that's left. But the one I saw, you could clearly see the edges. You could clearly see the shape. You could see it moving. You could see it got zoomed in on a couple of times. And like I said, the apertures on the bottom, you couldn't quite tell exactly what they were. It was only because it seems like, I don't know if it's just my memory or if it's, I seem to remember being able to see them, but I can't remember exactly what they looked like.
That implies, of course, there's a lot of footage that we haven't seen. And I understand the compression factor, although there are ways to send lossless videos, even by email, but we're not going to get into the technicalities of that here, about email and systems
Back in 2004, a lot of those things didn't exist. You know, you could do a zip file, and that's about the technical expertise of most of the sailors.
We got more to come with Gary, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNlife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNlife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. proactivemd.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Then again, we have to consider, guys, that this is 2004. Today, 2020, we have little iPhones and Samsung Galaxies that take 4K video and can be used for motion pictures. What a change. Go on, please.
Yeah, and that's a lot of things is, you know, when people ask me a lot of these questions and stuff like that, they're not realizing that, you know, even as advanced as their technology was in 2004, it's nothing like it is today. You know, it's like, well, why didn't you guys take a picture of it? I go, yeah, because my Razer phone was going to make that picture look even better. You know, but and even people that had actual cameras on board, I mean, still the best camera you could really get was a 9mm with a really good, you know, a nice Canon 9mm camera. You know, you had digital cameras that were doing, I think, 5 megapixels at the time, but I mean, those things costed a fortune. So, I mean, and plus they never came close enough to our ship to get a picture like that. You know, you would have had to have one of those high-end telephoto lenses that they use for sporting events or something like that in order to get any type of picture of it from where our ship was.
But the systems themselves, I mean, we're talking about probably systems that cost, who knows, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars, a million. They did have large imaging devices back in those days for places like observatories and I imagine the military as well. But the thing is did this thing appear in the visible spectrum at any time during this film, or was it always in infrared?
When you watch the full film, he actually films it in all the different modes. He flips through one, then he flips to another one, then he flips to it, and then basically is at like 4 or 5 different modes of the film, including actual camera footage, and then he flips to the FLIR for a good amount of time, and then he flips back to the standard image, and that's what I'm referring to when I say that I was actually able to see the object, not just in the FLIR.
Okay, very interesting, because so far we haven't seen that footage. We've just got the sort of blurry FLIR. And how was it that you got invited to view this, or did you just happen into it, or?
Well, pretty much anybody with a top secret clearance has access to these spaces. And, you know, it's like, it's one of those things where the guy's like, hey, you know, come check this out. You know, they're doing the interrogation. And that's the statement that actually made the impression to me that, you know, we were watching it live at the time. Now, I've heard a couple of people, you know, a couple of things that were saying we didn't have the technology to stream it live. But I couldn't tell you whether that was true or not, because the technology apparently was available at the time. I just don't know if it was equipped amongst the on the F-18s at the time.
Right. Yeah. No. Well, technologically, you know what they say, the stuff that we don't know about is 10 years ahead of anything we do know about. So, and if not more than that. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, even in 2004, you could do streaming satellite live coverage of sporting events. So what the military has, you've got to think, well, okay, it's going to be over and above that by who knows how much. Okay, really interesting. So how many other people were watching this film with you?
Well, there's quite a few of us all crammed in there trying to, you know, basically, think of what a bunch of teenagers would be looking at. You know, we were all teens and in our 20s. We were all just standing there. It was probably about 15 of us all just staring around this monitor watching this video.
Okay. So the aircraft all land then again, and at some point these objects, whatever they are, they go away. I'm assuming before the training exercise was over?
I'm not sure exactly when they went away, because after I saw the film, this is real, this is weird. You know, at that point, I went and made sure I started collecting up all the tapes. I had planned on keeping them completely aside. And when I say tapes, I'm talking about the Spy One Bravo radar data and the Aegis data that's all on my tapes. CEC records in a different way, so it's not located directly on the ship. So, it is and it isn't, but it gets into stuff I can't really talk about that system. So,
yeah, well, I think we can imagine, though. It's not too hard to sort of imagine a number of things here, scenarios. So,
it wasn't an issue of those tapes at all. So, and I actually had collected them all up, and between me and you, I had planned on keeping them. basically what I was going to do is, if nobody wanted them, I was just going to put them aside. I just marked them off, as the days that they were used. They pulled the timestamps on them and marked them on there and just put a little oval on the top right corner, kind of as a designation of the object itself, is just so I knew which tapes were which. And then, my bubble was busted because I got called. They went to flight ops, so I went up to the hangar and a helicopter came in. I saw a couple of guys get off the ship, and I'm like, I had a gut feeling, we just had this event, and some people are coming here, and they were plainclothes people, no men in black. I mean, honestly, if you just saw them, they would just be business casual, khakis and a polo with a windbreaker kind of outfits. I don't specifically remember exactly what they were wearing, but it wasn't anything that I would say, like Air Force or stuff like that. They seemed to be civilians.
So instead of the men in black, it's the men in khakis or something like that.
Yeah, the guys that run the paper mill. I mean, they literally just nondescript. They didn't look important. They didn't look like anybody that I knew, because I know all the tech reps for our system, since we just spent that long in the shipyards putting all this stuff in. And then within a couple of minutes of them being on board, I had to relinquish all my tapes. And then on top of that, they said any of the blank tapes that I had in my space, I had to also erase. So they took the tapes with the data itself, and then I had to erase everything that was in my shop. It just in case, basically, it was kind of a precaution in case I had a backup of those tapes. I honestly didn't even think to do a backup on them, and it's a pain in the butt to do that. So it wasn't something that was in my capability at the time, because it's a special type of system that's kind of just only hardwired just to record live stuff.
Sounds to me like there is certainly an intelligence aspect here, because they are retrieving this evidence, this photographic evidence.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of people get real excited about that part, but I mean, this literally could just be one of the companies of the system looking for, system data. It could be, anybody. I mean, that information was invaluable with, trying to figure out exactly the capabilities of our systems versus whatever this thing was. So, I mean, the military would most definitely want all of that information.
That makes perfect sense. So just sort of getting back to where we left off, though, So after these two attempts to intercept the tracks, then all the excitement kind of died down. Nobody paid any attention to them, or were they still on the screens for a number of days?
I don't remember. I'll be honest with you. Once my tapes were taken, I just kind of sunk back into my hole, and this was like, all right, well, that's over.
Right. Oh, so you didn't think to go the next day and see if it was still happening?
Nobody was talking about it, so I assumed there was nothing going on.
So it just kind of ended. Okay, that's very interesting.
Let me ask you a question then to follow up. Was there ever a eureka moment saying, you know, I really saw something there. That's weird.
Yeah. As soon as I saw that video, that was it. That was like, oh my God. I mean, I remember my brain going like completely numb. Like the first time, like the first time a girl tells you that you like that she likes you too, and your head goes numb. Yeah. There you go. You have same feeling.
So let me ask you too, before this, it has obviously no bearing on what you saw. Had you read science fiction? Had you seen movies like Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
I hadn't seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but you know, I was an X-Files fan. I did like sci-fi, but it was more of, you know, more of a just a normal interest in sci-fi. Just I enjoyed the stories. I read mostly just stuff like fantasy stuff, like, you know, Jargonlance and stuff like that. I wasn't really a space, you know, I wasn't wanting to be a space cowboy or anything like that. But
maybe this was a real life X-Files, though. We got more to come with Gary, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.